Today is UNESCO World Press Freedom Day, the day we think about our colleagues around the world who've lost their lives in the pursuit of a story, or who have been jailed for doing their jobs, or assaulted, or otherwise silenced. Press freedom here in Australia is also under attack. Our rights as journalists to find facts and tell the truth are under threat. Governments suppress information, refuse to answer questions, and hide behind the pretext of national security. Our defamation laws are used to quash accountability. We know during the COVID-19 pandemic, the work of journalists saved lives. It improved public policy and held the powerful to account. We also know that people were confused, trying to figure out what was true and what was false, their vulnerabilities exploited by those pushing disinformation campaigns. And they're being exploited again right now during this federal election campaign. So it's timely on Press Freedom Day 2022 to demand that our political leaders and those who want to be political leaders to honour and respect public interest journalism, to put accountability and transparency at the heart of our democracy, because democracy dies without press freedom.
That was the voice of MEAA, Media and Entertainment Arts Alliance Federal President Karen Percy on May the 3rd, World Press Freedom Day. That was just days before Al Jazeera journalist Sheree Abu Akle, while she was wearing a press jacket, was killed by, it is believed to be, an Israeli sniper with a bullet to the head while covering a raid in Jenin, West Bank. Shireen joins the 2,658 journalists recorded by the International Federation of Journalists between 1990 and 2020 killed in the performance of their work. At the end of 2021, 293 journalists were currently in jail for their work. This is a record. Daily, journalists are attacked, beaten, harassed, threatened and detained. There are growing threats to their digital safety with cyber attacks, hacking, online harassment, especially of women journalists, all creating a safety crisis for news professionals. In the current international legal framework, there are no binding norms establishing safeguards for media workers specifically. International law is silent on the unique vulnerabilities confronted by journalists covering conflicts and gross misconduct in high office. Shireen's passing was a strong presence at a recent Nakba memorial in Melbourne. Nakba is the remembrance of the forced removal by Zionist forces in 1948 of Palestinians from their homes, with the accompanying dispossession and death.
Now our next speaker today is a long-time Palestinian activist and also journalist. Please give a warm welcome to Maher Mughrabi.
Good afternoon. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to say to all the indigenous people in this country, to the Wurundjeri people above all of the Kulin Nation, that I look forward to the day when we meet you at the rendezvous of freedom. Freedom for the Palestinians and for all indigenous peoples. But I've come here to ask something very specific of you and of Australia. In April 2008, my colleague, the reporter Ed O'Loughlin, was driving along a road in Gaza when he suddenly came upon a burning Jeep. That Jeep had the letters TV written on it in huge red lettering. The man who had stepped out of that Jeep to film and who was lying in the road dying was a 23-year-old cameraman for Reuters whose name was Fadla Shanaa. Fadla Shanaa was wearing a blue padded vest with the words press clearly written on it. The same vest that Al Jazeera's reporter Shireen Abu Akle was wearing this week when she was shot in the head with a single bullet. Fadl Ashanaa actually filmed the shell that killed him. but it didn't matter. That shell came from an Israeli tank, but it didn't matter. The Israelis investigated themselves. The occupier investigated itself and found everything was in order. Not one single Israeli soldier was disciplined over the death of Fadl al-Shanaa. I didn't know Shirin Abu Aqli, Allah yirhamha. Though in the last few days, I have spoken to those who did. But I know enough about Shirin Abu Aqli's work to know two things about her. The first thing I know is that she would have rejected the idea of her own death as something that should be commemorated or acted on specially over and above the deaths and the injuries of the countless Palestinians who experienced the violence of Israel's occupation and Israel's rule every single day. She devoted her life to ensuring that those people's stories were told and that they were in the foreground, not hers. But the second thing that I know is that as a journalist dedicated to uncovering the truth, Shireen would have regarded the idea that the Israeli military could investigate its own actions, or that the Palestinian Authority could help it reveal the truth, as a sick joke, an absurd, preposterous idea. Which is why I say to all of you gathered here today, you must insist upon an independent investigation of this crime. And you must urge your leaders to back such an independent investigation. And you should urge your leaders to back the International Criminal Court in its efforts to hold the Zionists accountable. Not to block the International Court's work, as this government has so shamefully done. When you do this, you are doing it not just for Shirin Abu Aqli's sake. You are doing it not just for Fadl al-Shanaa's sake. You are doing it for the sake of every Palestinian trying to live their lives free of the lies and the chains and the brutality of a state that has dispossessed them and tortured them for decades. It is time to stand up for justice. It is time to stand up for transparency. It is time to stand up for freedom. It is time, past time, to stand up for Palestinians. Thank you very much.
ما تدري بعثراتي ونمشي يا قايد المراكي يا قايد المراكي.
You are listening to Stick Together, Workers' Stories and Union News through the Community Radio Network with the financial support of the Community Broadcasting Federation on your community radio station.